It's time for the Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Haifman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Haifman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
We're not crowned yet. It is 2-1, though, for the Green Bay Packers, tied with the Chicago Bears for the North lead. The Lions coach did him in against the Vikings for whatever reason. The Vikings are 2-1, too. I forgot.
Yeah.
Three 2-1 teams, 1-1-2 team. That's the NFC North. Who knows how it's going to shake out, but they've all played a couple games against division opponents at this point, and that's what it looks like. So Green Bay Packers 2-1 in a good spot. They get out of a tough game against Tampa Bay 14-12 with the win, bro. So the win is always what you focus on and be positive. And there were some positives, and we'll talk about those. And then there was some things that are a little not so great. We'll talk about that too and how it can affect the next opponent, the Patriots, coming up. But anyway, so how are you tonight, bro? Sorry I got into all that stuff right away.
I'm great. Packers won.
14-12. They scored 14 points right away and then no points. 0 points after that. But the defense held up and Tom Brady had an old man Brady fart. Brain Brady fart. And so they won. There you go.
That was good. I was glad. I mean, they could have called holding on defensive backs in the game on Tampa Bay about 75,000 times. They could have called holding on Christian Wirfs about 67 million times in the game. They didn't call any of those. So, it's about time they called the delay of game call. They didn't call it on the play right before that when they scored the touchdown. So I would hope they would have called it eventually. And they did finally on the 2-point conversion. So thank the Lord they finally called some penalties on them because, they were getting away with a lot in this game, and so we needed that to happen. But all in all, a win is a win is a win is a win. That's all I know. 2-1.
I remember when we first started doing our YouTube show, and the Packers won their first game under Matt LaFleur against the Bears 10-3, and we talked about how they only scored 10 points, but they won. And you said, I don't care how many points they score, as long as they win, as long as they win. That's all you said. And, that's the name of the game. Now, you still got to win in the playoffs. Playoffs, right? Still got to win the playoffs. You probably got to score some more points
like
to do that.
Playoffs? It's more like that. Playoffs? Right. Playoffs? I just want to win a game. Win a game. That's more like what it was like. But.
Classic. Yeah, you're better at that. There were some shining stars from the game. And then we have a new feature tonight that we're going to get into here this first segment as well. But a couple guys that really stuck out to me. Let's talk about some of the standouts from the game. Romeo Doubs, rookie receiver Romeo Doubs. We heard about it all week. He's going to have to take a bigger role in this game. He took a big role. 8 catches in the game, 70-some yards. Had a touchdown, his very first professional touchdown in an actual NFL game. Looked good. Did some good things. Could have had more. Could have had a few more balls come his way, too.
Yeah, but apparently, Aaron Rodgers doesn't like throwing a 5-yard slant when a guy's open on third down. Or second down, or whatever
it was.
I don't want to get into that right now, but what I'm saying is, he's fine. Yippee skip. Whatever. He's a guy. He's not that great. He's just a guy. All right?
Would you say nearly as good as Davante Adams and way cheaper, though, right?
He's the same as Devontae. Devontae's not that great either. I don't know. Everybody thinks he's so great. Look at the Raiders. Have they won any games? No. Did he go there and turn them into big, successful winners? And everybody's like, well, Derek Carr stinks. No, Derek Carr doesn't stink. Derek Carr's pretty dang good, actually. One receiver can make a difference. Okay? The offense can. Guys getting open can. Stuff like that can happen. Lazard had a great game, too. Randall Cobb had a couple awesome catches and turned on the Jets. I didn't know he even had the Jets in him anymore, but he ran for 40 yards on one, ran for 20 on another one on a quick catch and a goal.
You mentioned that the other night. We didn't know Randall Cobb still had it in the tank.
I'll take any of that stuff. All those guys did great. All the receivers did great. The issue is not the receivers. We've been talking about this all summer for anybody who listens to our shows, and I'm sorry I'm yelling, but I'm just kind of like sick of It's the offensive line, everybody. We've been talking about it all summer. The offensive line.
Wait a minute. We were supposed to be so worried about the receivers.
We weren't worried about you and I weren't.
I know.
Packer Nation is all concerned. We got to get Julio Jones. Julio Jones. He sure helped Tampa Bay on Sunday, didn't he? Good thing we didn't sign him. How many other guys did they say we had to pick up? Go pick up this guy. Pick up that guy. No, it's not the receivers. The receivers are all pretty decent. Okay. Christian Watson dropped the pass deep. Okay. We know that first game. But the offensive line is the issue. Now, I know you're trying to get positive, but it's just, I'm sorry I'm getting freaked out on this receiver thing. Yeah, Romeo Doubs had 80-some yards on 90, on set, whatever, how many catches it was. It was a Davante Adams game, okay? Under 10 yards per catch. It's not anything to write home about. He just got a bunch of targets and caught them, and that's good, okay? And any receiver can do that.
And he doesn't cost $141 million. So
right, and that's awesome. But you know who else does better than that? Amon-Ra St. Brown for the Detroit Lions destroyed everybody. Okay, that guy is a killer.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't know. He's fine. Okay? Everybody's all like, Romeo Doubs is so good. We got to get him the ball. Well, Lazard did just fine. Cobb did just fine. Dude. Just pass to the open guy, and guess what? We'll move the ball. I don't know. Maybe that's something we can do. I'm sorry. Okay.
No, you're fine.
I gotta calm down.
It's good. And Lazard, I'm just saying the kid stepped up, made the plays over there, got open, looked pretty good. He's not anything that, you're gonna like, he's not gonna be a huge game changer type receiver, but he is gonna be certainly a good pro, I think, and a solid pro, and we'll take it. And his quarterback threw him the ball, and could have thrown it to him a few more times, like we said. I just thought that was a nice surprise because we didn't know what to expect there. Quay Walker comes back and looks good. Was flying around, making plays, punches the ball out. The Packers defense, when Tampa Bay started moving the ball, right? Two punch outs, two forced fumbles. And I said to you the other night, when was the last time we had two forced fumbles in the same game? It hasn't happened probably since Charles Woodson days.
Yeah, and both those guys are new to the team. So I wonder if they were coached that somewhere else and then just showed up here and brought that with them. Are these guys getting coached on how to punch the balls out? I mean, remember when the Bears had that Peanut Tillman guy who'd punch out every freaking ball all over the sun because he was coached to do it? He knew that's what he wanted to do. You know, I mean, I'm assuming that in Georgia, that's where Quay Walker learned to do that. Hey, you got a bunch of good players on your team. We all, you know, swarm to the ball, and whoever's the second guy there punches it out. Amos was the first guy there. He was the second guy there. He punched it out. And Nixon, he's back in coverage. He reads the play right away, gets up there. The guy catches it, smacks him really hard, knocks it out. That's awesome. You love seeing stuff like that, especially when it's in open field like that. And it's different when sometimes when running backs will fumble or the quarterback fumbles, there's enough offensive linemen and guys around to kind of mess with you and the offense gets the ball back. But when it's in the open field like that, with the receiver downfield, there's way more defenders around, and there's a better chance for the defense to get that fumble. And that's why it worked out so well on those two plays.
Well, a big key to those plays happening is something that this defense hasn't had for quite a long time, which is pursuit and hustle, right? Guys that can pursue, guys that do pursue. And now we've got some speed to go along with effort, and it's showing up. And let's talk about Keyshawn Nixon. Let's talk about him. Guys were talking about him here in the preseason, saying he was showing up at practice. He was a guy that then, of course, you know, wasn't going to start, wasn't going to get playing time necessarily, but did some good things there. And Jair Alexander with his classic injury again and out of the game early. The defense shifts. This kid gets a chance, and he made the most of it. I like what I saw. He was physical, tough, and you pointed out how he does something that not all cornerbacks and not all the cornerbacks on this team do, which is attack.
He attacks and he tackles. And it's probably from playing special teams so much, right? So he's used to that. I mean, and that's great. And that's what you need at a guy from the slot. He maybe lacks some things in coverage, possibly. I don't know. I watched the All-22, but it didn't seem like he was terrible. Most of the time when he was in the game, they were playing a zone, and he was playing in zone. Okay. It wasn't very often that he was playing man and had to like get juked out of his shorts on a man route and his coverage got beat. It was mostly him in a zone with Stokes and safety over the top and a linebacker next to him on the other side. And so he's able to read the quarterback. And of course, Tom Brady gets the ball out of his hand so fast that you don't really have to even worry about covering for very long. So it's a weird situation in a weird game. It also led to Rasul Douglas going back to corner, where he did play some man, and he did make some awesome coverage. And he also knew, hey, Tom Brady's going to get this ball out fast, so all I have to do is cover this guy and stick with him for like 2 seconds, and that's it, right? And then he knew that. He had a great breakup pass, you know, when he got his hand in there and broke it up. And then the next time, Tom Brady went after him again on the next drive, and Scotty Miller jumped up in the air, and Rasul's like, you're not catching this because I'm going to throw you out of bounds. And he did. And guess what? That's not a catch if you don't come in bounds with your feet. That's a smart, heady play by Rasul Douglas. So what the Jair injury proved was, hey, guess what? We got some guys who can play. Now, if they play a different type of quarterback, it might have been a little different, right? We don't know. If they also, plus, let's face it, Tampa Bay's special receivers, right? Their speedster and their giant guy, both out. Okay, with Evans and Godwin. So we don't really know. They weren't taxed in the secondary as much as they probably normally would be. So, like, Jair being out isn't really a good thing all the time. In this particular game, it worked out great because Rasul went to a perfect spot where he can just hold off that fort. And there was a bunch of times, watch the film, where he played man coverage and the whole rest of the defense played zone. He played man by himself with a bunch of guys playing zone on the other side. So Barry had confidence in him to lock down Scotty Miller, which we know we don't have confidence in Kevin King. Thank God he's gone. Back to you.
Yeah, I mean, that was the other big note from the game, other than the fact that, you know, Rashawn Gary, defensive line, got some good pressure at times. All that was good, went along with the coverage. But that Rasul Douglas, again, stepped up. Like, we've been talking about it. Him in the slot, great if he wanted to do that, if they were going to do more with him. But if that makes him not on the field for the majority of the snaps, then put him back on the outside and figure out somebody else for the slot. Maybe Nixon is your guy, and maybe Eric Stokes, your first round pick, needs to. If Jair's back, now Jair will probably get injured again, but if Jair's ever back, then maybe Eric Stokes got to sit his butt on the bench. I don't know. There's some things to talk about. There's some other personnel decisions that we'll talk about second half of the show, but here in segment two, we are debuting two new portions of our show. We'll tell you what they are when we come back. Don't miss it. Be back right after this. Hafen Bros. Packer Outright Opinions. Keep getting stuck here all the time. Jason and Ben Hafen, the Hafen Bros. We are here for you Friday nights on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. Also streamed on the Civic Media app. There are fans in other areas of Wisconsin calling for the show, and I think Civic Media is going to make it happen by bringing it to a radio station near you soon, too. We're not there
really?
Yet. We'll get there.
There's people calling for this show somewhere.
There's people calling. I don't know that those are just fake accounts that I own, but there's people calling for it.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes more sense.
And we'll bring it to them. And we're going to debut some new stuff tonight because that's what we do. We got new stuff to do. We're tuning up the radio show. We're tuning it up. Evan's helping us. Evan, are you ready? Let's start with the new segment with the silent but deadly player of the game. Let's go.
And now it's time for the Hafen Bros. Silent but Deadly Player of the Week.
This segment, we start off with the positive, and then we're going to go to a little negative. But that's okay. That's life. Positives and negatives. Ben, who is your silent but deadly player of the game for last week?
Well, my silent but deadly player of the game is a guy that I didn't even know who he was until like a month ago. And that's Rudy Ford. The guy is insane. He is the number one crazy, like, what do they don't call him? They don't call him a gunner anymore. What do they call him? Flyer. The number one flyer. Crazy flyer. We broke down film on Wednesday on our show. I showed how Tampa Bay tried to cover him with one guy, couldn't stop him. Then they tried to drop back extra guys to help out, couldn't stop him. Then he went back to the other way, couldn't stop him. Then they tried double teaming him at the line of scrimmage, still couldn't stop him. The guy was a one-man wrecking crew, beating the man in front of him, flying down the field on punts. And man, we punted a lot in that game. And thank God we have a guy like Rudy Ford on this team, able to get past the initial block and get downfield and tackle and mess up the whole punt return unit for Tampa Bay. Rudy Ford, silent but deadly, Packer player for Ben.
I don't think I've ever heard of him or heard him say a word before, so I like it. There were many choices for this. We could have talked about Keyshawn Nixon. I think he's a great candidate for silent but deadly player of the week, although he came in and made a lot of noise. One guy, along with the key to the game, which was field position and punting, who ended up being special teams player of the week, but did it in a quiet way, was Pat O'Donnell. And he kicks the ball with ease. He looks like he's not kicking it, but it goes 50 yards. He pins people down. He gets great hang time. And he makes wild faces after the game. So Pat O'Donnell is my silent but deadly player of the week against Tampa Bay. And so for that, our silent but deadly players get a fart gun salute. Pat O'Donnell, one for you. Oh, that was pathetic. Better. And one for Rudy Ford.
Ooh, that one didn't sound good.
Silent but deadly players of the week. Pat O'Donnell, Rudy Ford. Okay, now it's time for the other new segment. The other new segment of the Hafen Bros Show, Packer Outright Opinions. Let it roll, Evan.
I got a beef to pick with you.
You want some beef or what?
Yo, what's your beef?
Come on, man.
It's beef time. We were going to, we're playing with the idea, is this Ben's beef? But then I have beef sometimes too. Is it Ben, Jason's beef, Hafen Bros beef, the weekly beef? I don't know yet, but it's beef time. And right now, we got like 5 minutes left to get into this beef. 4 minutes. Okay, we got to make it quick. Let's go for it. The beef this week, to go along with 4 minutes, is the four-time MVP quarterback of the Green Bay Packers needs to be better. Mr. Aaron Rodgers is not playing well, and I don't want all of his excuses this year. We got him every other year. We've had receivers. We've had offensive line. And yes, the offensive line hasn't been great, and yeah, they're new receivers, but we're telling you they're playing well. And we also know that sometimes he blames it on the special teams, but that's not a problem anymore. So, Mr. Aaron Rodgers, let's just look at you, my friend. As soon as, and some people pointed this out, and we've seen this in the past, Aaron Rodgers is not a responder to bad things. So when controversy strikes or when turmoil hits in a game.
Adversity.
Adversity, thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Mr. Aaron Rodgers curls up. No, he doesn't actually. He points the finger elsewhere and gets frustrated and gets down because things aren't running perfectly. He loves to play football when everything's executed great and running perfectly, and that's awesome. That's great, and he's excellent at that. He is incredible when it's all going well. But when it doesn't go well, he doesn't find a way to respond. Stats prove it. Last week, before the fumble that he threw super late and set Aaron Jones up to get the fumble and actually threw the ball behind him, which caused the fumble, we showed film on Wednesday night. If he threw it in front of Aaron Jones, it's a touchdown because he doesn't get hit by Vitavea. Yep. But before that, Aaron was 14 out of 15, 163 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, a 151.5 rating. After that one play, Aaron Rodgers, 13 out of 20, which is still a good percentage, 92 yards, one pick, no touchdowns, and a 54.6 quarterback rating. Yuck. Aaron Rodgers does not respond to adversity. Going back to last year, let's just remind everybody real quick, when they only scored 10 points in a whole game at home against the 49ers. Before the Mercedes Lewis fumble, Aaron Rodgers, 7 of 8 for with an 8.8 yards per pass. Packers had 7 points, 103.1 rating at that time. After the one Mercedes Lewis fumble, 3 points scored by the Green Bay Packers, 13 out of 21, good percentage again, but only 7.4 yards per pass and an 84.4 rating in a home playoff game. Aaron Rodgers does not respond. So he gets the beef this week. You need to respond to adversity if you're going to be the highest paid player on the team, one of the highest paid players in the league. And if you're the great hope for Super Bowls, let's go, four-time MVP quarterback Aaron Rodgers. We got enough problems with you thinking you're smarter than doctors, thinking you're smarter than scientists, thinking you're smarter than your coaches. We need you to play football better. Aaron Rodgers, be better at quarterback. Be better for the Packers. Be better for us. Coming back on the other side, it's Hafen Bros Packer Outright Opinion. Sorry I didn't let you talk that segment, bro, about that stuff, but I had some stuff to get off my chest. Also, Aaron Rodgers, 21st in yards so far. Quarterback rating below 100. Pick it up. four-time MVP. Let's go. We'll be back. It's time the Packers to not have a heartbreaker, a heartbreaking loss, because the rookie, well, second-year quarterback for the Patriots has been ruled out. Mac Jones ruled out officially from the game. So the Packers are on a string of facing like four quarterbacks in a row, not very good. So the defense should dominate, even if the offense kind of stinks up the joint, or four-time MVP doesn't hear my call from last segment and pick up his game and all that stuff. Or they say, oh, we're just going to have Aaron Jones run over everybody and A.J. Dillon. You know, all the different things that can happen that would be good. If those things don't happen, the defense should be able to handle these next couple of quarterbacks, including Brian Hoyer coming up here against the Patriots Sunday at 3:25. Then, so, you know, they don't play the Patriots a lot. You know, because it's just it's an AFC opponent, and you know it's every 4 years or whatever it is. So there's not a big history here, but team's a lot different from the last time the Packers played the New England Patriots.
Well, I mean, it goes down to the, was it Brady or was it Belichick all those years, right? And
right?
With Brady gone, the Patriots have kind of stunk up the joint. And I don't really think that Belichick's a bad coach, because as a matter of fact, I think he's a pretty awesome coach and pretty dang good at his job. Matter of fact, I wish LaFleur would do more things like he does. A lot of times Belichick will find the weakness of the opponent and attack it. And he'll also look at his team and like he has certain players on defense and on offense where it's like, this guy is really good at doing this one thing or this one thing. And I'm not going to ask him to do anything else. So yes, when he's on the field, he's probably going to do whatever it is. Like if there's a guy who's good at blocking, you know, in the running game, he's going to be out there to block in the running game. He's not going to be out there to, like a tight end. He's not going to be able to receive catches. He's like Mercedes Lewis or whatever, right? So, and then on defense, if there's a guy who's good at coverage, he's out there to cover. And if there's a guy who's good there at covering against the run, he's out there to cover against the run. And you'll see him switch to all players, which means Aaron Rodgers could do some awesome stuff where if we get 12 men on the field or when they're changing guys because of different down and distance situations. So that's one thing you can look for as a Packer fan and look and see if Aaron Rodgers maybe can get more 12 men on the field calls because of some substitutions that Bill Belichick likes to do. But also he does, though, put his players in the best position to succeed. The problem is their team doesn't have the greatest players anymore. And I don't know if they ever really did have the greatest players. Maybe they just had the greatest quarterback and the greatest coach of all time. And then the rest of the players are just okay. I don't know. But now they don't have the quarterback anymore. And the coach is in his 70s and or late 60s or 70s, whatever he is. And he's not quite the same guy as he used to be. But it's still him. It's still Bill Belichick. And you still have to be ready. Because he can find a weakness. And he'll never say anything bad about his opponent.
No, that's
but
for
you,
sure.
But at least not in public. But you know, in his facility, he's talking about this guy and this guy, and here's a weakness here, and here's a weakness there, and here. Who watch this? Josh Myers. He can't block and cover. Mm. And when he's moving in motion, Royce Newman's got a problem sometimes. If you get up on him right away, he doesn't have the strength to fight it. Right? Boom. Okay. Well, they might attack that with that sort of thing. They also might see, oh, hey, guess what? Savage isn't very good when the ball's in the air, so we're going to take a couple deep shots wherever Savage is because we know he loses the ball in the air. Same thing with Stokes. He will see that on the film, and he will attack it on the film or in the game. So that's one thing you have to look for as a Packer fan. Like, you don't think that the Patriots are going to come to town and the Packers are just going to steamroll them, especially the way they've been playing offense, Packers. But it's going to be a tough game, and I think the Packers will win, but you have to be smart about this and not expect them to just steamroll them. It's going to be, I mean, they might, but Belichick will have his team prepared 100%, and he will not make mistakes in-game like Matt LaFleur sometimes is known to do.
Yeah, and he very rarely has poor defensive teams, even if the offense is struggling. Now, look, they made the playoffs last year with a rookie quarterback. So, and not a lot of star power or guys on the team that everybody knew were household names or big athletes or high draft picks. So he knows how to coach people. He knows how to get the most out of him. And that's one of the things I love. I mean, he does so many different things that other coaches wouldn't do where, I mean, you look at the history of him as a coach, and I think that's why so many people marvel at him, and not just all the winning, but I mean, the winning is ultimately it, but also a lot of the cool stuff he did. Like, he would have game plans from game to game that were a 180 degree difference. I mean, you remember some of those games where they'd run it 80% of the time and throw 20% of the time, and they had Tom Brady as their quarterback. And that's just what they decided was going to be the best for the team to win this game against this opponent. He's very much studies his opponents, knows his opponents, and tries to put his team in the best position against that opponent, which is pretty awesome. And then the other thing I love that he does is he will find a way defensively to take away. If you're heavy on one weapon, and I go back to like the old like video clip where they had him talking to Ocho Cinco, and he was like on the Bengals or something, and he was all ready for a game, and he went up to him before the game and just said, "Yeah, you might as well just take the game off. We're doubling you all game. We're doubling you all game." He told him that before the game, double teaming you all game. So, you know, just take the game off because no balls are coming your way. So if this was Davante Adams still on the team, that's what he would do, right? And then I don't know what would happen, but no Davante Adams actually makes it better for the Packers, because who's he going to try to take away in this game? I guess it's got to be Aaron Jones in the run game.
It might be Aaron Jones in the run game, right? Like, right. And they have the horses to do it. They've got big guys on the defensive line. They've got linebackers who are thumpers who are able to stop the run. So, and let's face it, the Packers passing offense has not been that great. You just talked about Aaron Rodgers in the last segment. So that could probably be the key. You know, they might just stuff down the run here and force us to pass the ball and force the receivers to get on the same page with Rodgers. And, you know, that needs to happen. The other thing, I just want to bring this up because it's a cool thing. I don't know if anybody cares. That's fine. As a football fan, there's a video. I think it's called Do Your Job or something like that. It's a video of the Patriots Super Bowl season the year when they played the Seahawks. And it goes into detail on that last possession that the Seahawks had the ball on the 1 yard line, and Russell Wilson, you know, they decided to throw the ball and got intercepted, you know, at the one, and then the Patriots ended up winning the Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff. And it shows Belichick, and he's on the sidelines, and all of his coaches are in the headset saying, "Hey, this should be," because they were expecting them to at least kick a field goal or score a touchdown, and then they would get the ball back, and then they'd have a chance maybe to go down and kick a field goal to win the game or whatever. And his coaches are in the headset saying, "Hey, Bill, do you want a timeout here? Don't we want a timeout here?" And Belichick is standing there, and he's looking at the Seahawks sideline, and he's seeing how guys are running it off. And like Pete Carroll and the offensive coordinator, I think it was Darrell Bevell at the time, right? They're kind of confused. And he's looking at him, he's like, "Yeah, I know. And he's watching him, and he doesn't call a timeout because he doesn't want, in the interview, he says, "Yeah, I just felt like something was wrong there. They weren't all on the same page." And he's like, "I didn't want to bail them out with a timeout so that they would be ready. Like, let's make them waste their timeout if they really want to do it." And of course, the very next play is Malcolm Butler picks off Russell Wilson on on that 1 yard pass, and it gets the Super Bowl again. And it's just cool to see something like that where a guy he just had a gut feeling, and based on what he saw on the sideline, because he wasn't even looking at the players. He was strictly looking at the sideline of the Seahawks and what the coaches were doing. And he could see that there was like a miscommunication, or guys were having an issue. Like, some guys were like, "Hey, we should be running Marshawn Lynch." But they chose to give Russell Wilson the chance to be the superhero, and of course he wasn't. And then the Seahawks lost, and of course the Patriots won. And it just shows you how, you know, sometimes it's intuition, sometimes it's awareness of everything around you, understanding your opponent, all that kind of stuff. That's why Bill Belichick is the man. He makes mistakes at times, yes, he does. But the more and more confidence he has over all the years is he can do that sort of thing, right? Just like when they beat Sean McVay. Everybody's talking about Sean McVay, how great he was in the Super Bowl a few years back, right? He helped, and they were killing everybody with a bunch of points. And they get that Super Bowl, they scored no points. I mean, Belichick shut them down like nothing.
Because he created a defensive alignment that nobody had run before.
Right. And that's the stuff we have to look out for. So, like, Packer fans think this is going to be just a piece of cake, it's not a piece of cake. Yes, their players aren't as good. And that is the truth. But when you're coached well, and your team is solid and disciplined, they can win games if your team is not coached well and not solid and not disciplined. So hopefully LaFleur's got these guys on task, and he's telling them every day, "Hey, I know this isn't the same Patriots team. I know they don't have a bunch of wins. I know they're not known at this point to be even a very good team. But we cannot let off the, you know, let off the gas. We have to be smart. We have to work together and do not make mistakes. Play solid team offense, solid team defense, solid team defense, and win the game. Because we have the better players, we should be able to win, and it's at home, period.
We can talk forever, but I should remind you, I always forget this because we're not used to, we're just new to doing the radio show. You can call in at any point if you want, 844-967-2789. Bring your opinions. Tell us what you like, what you don't like, what you think about the game coming up, any concerns you have, things you want us to talk about, 844-967-2789. You know, here, I'm going to go back. I'm going to say about the, well, we'll cover that a little bit later. Offensive line, Ben, we talk about it all the time. We've talked about it. Yosh Nyman is one of the Packers' top two or three offensive linemen, definitely in the top three offensive linemen for the Green Bay Packers. Yet now that David Bakhtiari is coming back, he's not going to be on the field. That is a mistake. What should the Packers do? I don't know why they're doing what they're doing, but what should they do?
I don't know. I honestly
come on,
don't know.
Man.
Listen, we've heard things that he's not very good at right tackle. They say he struggles on the right side.
Hasn't he earned the right to work it out there? Like, get him in there at tackle at right, on the right side and let him figure it out. He's got the tools. He showed you last year he could figure it out against some of the best guys. Get him in there.
My thought is this. Like, I think he's better at right tackle probably than Jenkins is at right tackle at this point. I'm sorry. We've seen Jenkins now a couple games. It's not looking good. Okay? No. He's not the same player as he was before the injury, or he's just not as good at right tackle as he is at guard. He's a great guard. He's a Pro Bowl guard. Like, why would you take a Pro Bowl guard and move him to some place where he would be just a regular guy? And a matter of fact, he's one of the lowest graded players at right tackle in the NFL right now over the 2 weeks he started. So why is that a good idea? When you know if you put him at guard, he's a Pro Bowler. It just makes no sense. Put the guy where he's supposed to, especially when you have like, it'd be different if we had a guy who was really good at guard right now. But Runyon and Royce have been stinking up the joint, and let's get some solid in back in there, okay? And then give Yosh a chance. Yosh has been like, he's a top 18 right now, graded player at left tackle or at all tackles in the NFL. 18 out of all tackles. So that's 32 times 2, whatever that is, 64. 64 guys, he's number 18. He's in the top half. And he's on our team. He's going to be sitting on the bench. Why? Because you have a guy who's a portable guard. You play him at tackle when he should be playing tackle. Dumb. Put this guy out there. He's good. Move Jenkins in to guard. I don't care if you play him at left or right. I don't care. And give him a shot. Give Yosh a shot at right tackle, and you'll have more. You'll be more successful. I can tell you that. You have better players at different spots. I mean, right now, the offensive line is not the best, especially in the middle. The Royce, Myers, Runyon inside is not looking good. When you watch the film, it's a lot of mistakes. Sometimes it's great. A lot of times it's not great.
And we knew that coming into the season. We knew that was going to be an issue. That inside, you know, their glue, they let go to the Bears, and they were going to have to figure it out. And I'm sorry to say it. It's my guy, I know, but it's true. Anyway, beside the point, with the guys they have now, this is, they always talk about, we get our best five out there. Well, Yosh is clearly in your best five.
Yes.
Get him on the field. And if he needs to work through some stuff at right tackle, then let him practice there and let him play there and let him work it out. Because Jenkins is getting beat all the time. He can't be worse than Elgton Jenkins right now. And again, I know they fell in love with this thing and the whole, you know, the team ran with it and the media ran with it. Elgton Jenkins play anywhere. He's a elite player anywhere on the offensive line. He played all five spots. No. Elgton Jenkins is an inside player. He is not a tackle. He's not been good at tackle. In the game against Arizona last year when he was playing tackle and early on in the season before he got hurt and Yosh had to take over, he was not that good. Yosh was better than him when Yosh came in and played left tackle. He's a guard. He's very good at guard. Let him play guard. And you need that experience next to a guy who barely played last year as center and is basically still kind of in his rookie season at center pretty much, in playing snaps against NFL talent.
Well, the other thing is when you watch the film back, Myers, I hate to say this, but there was a play, I showed it on on Wednesday night, where Runyon and Myers double team Vita Vea for an instant, and then they both decide to help the guy next to him, and they let Vita Vea go scot-free. He runs around, he gets pressure on Rodgers. So they double teamed him. And then they were like, the other guy's got him. I'm going to go help over here. Well, they both said, the other guy's got him. I'm going to go help over here. And then nobody was on Vita Vea. If you have Jenkins next to him, Then you're going to have a guy who you know, Myers will be like, okay, I don't have to help Jenkins. I'm going to just help Runyon. And every play will help Runyon. And that'll solidify the offensive line even better. You know what I mean? Because then you're not having guys making mistakes that are mental mistakes and not physical mistakes. Right now, yep, they're making mental and physical.
Yash has got to play. Let him work it out at right tackle. That's how you fix the line. We'll be back on the other side to fix the rest. Once performed this song with my brother's band. Actually, they played, yep, and I was able to sing, thankfully, because I don't play instruments very well. And if I get more than two extremities going at the same time, it's a problem, and I can't sing and play instruments together at the same time. So anyway, that's how it went. But I sang pretty well. I thought it was okay. It's an easy song to sing, though, not difficult.
Well, it's a lower song, thank God.
Right, for most right. Makes it a little, right. Makes it a little easier.
But yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I had a little of that going. We were talking Packers here. It's the Packer Outright Opinion Show. It's Ben and Jason. We talked about the offensive line, how to fix it. Hopefully the Packers listen and figure that out. We do have some Packer insiders that always check out our shows because some of these adjustments we talk about are actually made. Things happen after a while after we keep saying them. And so somebody's dialed in. We think it's like one of the lower level people. It takes a little time for them to get their voices heard. But then they pass on the information, just like, you know, Aaron Rodgers was responsible for that flag at the end of the game, passing on information. We pass on information through our show, and then the coaches finally get it, and then they make the right decision. Okay, so overall, Ben, overall, the Patriots and Packers have played 12 times in the regular season. What do you think the record is? First game was in 1973.
73? Okay, then it's going to be 8 wins for the Patriots and 4 wins for the Packers.
It is 6-6. Series oh, okay. is tied at 6-6.
All right. I don't know.
They're incorporating. I'm sorry. That's actually with 12, they're incorporating. This is all games. That includes the Super Bowl, the Packers Super Bowl championship, the first one Ben and I ever saw in our lifetimes back in 1997, January 26th of 1997. So that is one of the Packers wins. So regular season, the Packers are actually down one game. Oops.
Okay, that would make more sense.
All right, that makes more sense. In the last 5, though, since the turn of the century, the Packers are 3-2 against the Patriots. They lost in 2002, 28-10. They won in 2006, 35-0. Wow. 2010, we know, was the Matt Flynn game.
Yep.
They 31-27.
They lost, but barely.
Yep, and then we had
Jordy Nelson destroyed him in 2014.
Yep, and then the Patriots and Packers in 14, and then 18 was the last game, and they won that one too. 14 was the first time Aaron Rodgers beat Tom Brady. And yeah, and there you have it. So that's kind of the situation here. It's tied up here for all time, but the biggest win of all was that Super Bowl win victory, 36-21. Thank you, Green Bay Packers of 1996. Some of our favorites on that team of all time. Okay, so for this game, though, that doesn't say a lot. It's a very different team now. We just talked about rookie quarterback Mac Jones, although he's not even there this week. So Brian Hoyer is a weird guy, right? He's been around the league a long time. He's played in a bunch of teams. He's not like really great, but he's pretty good as a backup because he's played a lot and he wings the ball. He doesn't like mess around. I mean, he throws some picks and stuff and takes some chances, but he also puts up some yards and touchdowns. So he's kind of a weird guy to deal with in a way. Although with the way the Packers defense is playing between pass rush and the linebackers flying around and the secondary, especially with Rasul on the field most of the time, I'm not really afraid of him. How about you?
No, I mean, he's like a Jimmy Garoppolo type of guy. You know, I mean, the system is good. He'll read the play, and if the guy's open, he'll throw it to him, and there you go. I mean, it's nothing special. It's Tom Brady-like. You know, except the difference is Tom Brady just has like the ability to always win. I don't know what the deal is with that, but it's very similar. I mean, he just throws to the open guy and whatever. But Sometimes I think Hoyer likes to do, he thinks he can do more than he can do, and that's where he gets in trouble with his own picks. Okay. And that's something that we can look forward to. Maybe we'll get some Rasul Douglas gets some picks or, you know, whatever. Who knows? Maybe Stokes will get his first pick of this game. I don't know. That'd be pretty cool. But, you know, I think the defense will be fine as long as they are smart and don't, you know, do dumb stuff. And the offense, the Packers offense against the Patriots defense could be something else. Who knows? But it's nothing new. Okay. It's an average quarterback, worse than average quarterback on a team that's got a little talent deficient, as we all know. And the Packers got to win, period. It's at home. Let's go.
And they're, I mean, the next four games, they should win. They should win the next four games, even with the trip to London and all that. It's against the Giants over in London. But they should definitely win the next four games. So you could be looking at a 6-1 Packers team by week seven. And that's really what they should be, not what you could be looking at. That's what they should be. But it starts here with this game against New England. The wild card is really kind of Belichick and how he has the defense perform. And then if you have any turnovers, of course, that can swing the game. The Patriots are traditionally pretty decent on special teams, although they were not quite as good the last couple years. They got a lot younger on special teams. Remember, they were one of the teams that signed a lot of veteran guys to make their special teams better, which the Packers did this year, and it looks like it's kind of paying off.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I guess somebody said that the stats, PFF still has the Packers ranked as the 31st best special teams, which might have a lot to do with the return game more than the coverage game. But let's face it, the punt coverage is night and day compared to last year. And the kickoff coverage, Mason Crosby so far has been kicking the ball out of the end zone a lot of times, or at least in the end zone, which is, you know, made some teams not bring it out. So we don't have to cover. If you kick in the end zone, you don't have to cover anymore. So that's great. So it's the stats, I guess, on PFF say, hey, guess what? You guys still stink. But the naked eye tells you the Packers special teams is much better. And it's because they brought in guys who buy into being on the special teams and want to work hard. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you got a bunch of guys who are that good. And we all remember, you know, the Patriots a lot of times would sign guys from the Packers that were pretty good and they're on their special teams. Joe Andruzzi, I know he was a starting guard for them for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some other guy, I think Chris Gizzy, before he came back and became the weightlifting guy for the Packers, he was on the Patriots too for a while. So I don't know. They sign veteran players who are under the radar that other teams don't value, but they know that they're hard workers and good players. So you got to look out for that.
Yeah, it's definitely paying off. And I guess that rest for Mason also paying off, because it does look like he's kicking the ball a little farther, and that's great. We haven't seen a lot of field goal attempts yet, and we'll see what happens once we get to that. Score predictions. It is time for score predictions because the show is almost over. So if you have score predictions in the chat, throw them in there. Jonathan, David, anybody else, and Mom and Dad, and anybody else. Ben, what's your score prediction for this game?
You know, I think... this is the game where they're going to finally put it all together. I think it's going to be 31-17.
Ooh, 31-17 Packers.
Yeah, I think they're going to, yeah, Packers. I think they're going to finally cream them. They're going to finally get it going. You know, it's just the right situation. They didn't have a great game last week, so I think the coaches are going to be really on their P's and Q's with these guys, and they're going to put together for this week.
All right. I'm going to go with 28-14, Packers double them up and win. Go to 3-1, stay on top of the division. It's written. Packers win again. Haven Bros said it. Be ready for another beef next week, and also the next silent but deadly player of the game. We'll be back next week for more Haven Bros.